Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. Boy, we're zipping through this week already. Happy New Year to you. I hope you're doing very, very well. And we've got to change our focus, right? If you haven't yet, we've got to set our sights to what God's calling us to do this year. I want to kick off with some scripture today, and that is Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. It says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I often go to some of these scriptures to kick off, you know, at the beginning of a new year, just as a reminder that sometimes it's hard to forget and let go of the past. We don't want to drag that any baggage into the new year, but sometimes it's harder to let go. But so that was Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Today, we're going to be talking about different things that we learned from last year in Barna research and other polls that the state of the church or Americans' view of either salvation or heaven or morality with my good friend Brian Thomas with Blessings to Israel. And I want to give you the website, blessingstoisrael.com. You can find him on Facebook as well, Blessings to Israel or Blessings to Israel Ministries. Also, want to direct you to his YouTube channel, and that is called Discerning the Times. That's on YouTube, Discerning the Times on YouTube. There it is. So, friends, we're so thankful. Brother Brian, good to see you. We appreciate your time today. Nice to connect with you, and Happy New Year.
Hey, likewise, David. Happy New Year to you as well. And it's always a great day whenever I get to sit down and talk with you. I always look forward to it. So thanks for having me.
It's great that we could connect. I mean, you're in North Carolina and we're here up here in Wisconsin. And I love that there are some good things about technology and there are some awful things about technology and the internet. But anyway, so this is really good how God's blessed our podcast by the people I get to connect with. I want to ask you, we kicked off, I think last time we had you on, we talked about your health and some of the challenges you've had. Now we entered into a new year, but toward the end of last year, you did a video and you just shared a little bit about your story and what you've been going through. And it was called, "It's Been a Tough Year, But Still Thankful." And I think that has to be our attitude. I think I had a tough year myself. I think a lot of viewers and a lot of listeners to this program can relate to trials, suffering, something that they had a tough year last year. Speak to us about that and then share a little bit, whatever you'd like to share about your personal health that, and then just your commitment to just, you know, press on.
Yeah, well, thank you, David. Yeah, so last year, it's been almost a full year. Around February of last year, I began just having pain in the lower regions of my body and just got progressively worse throughout the year to the point that I could barely walk at times. I'm dragging my leg along and began walking with a cane a couple of months ago due to my leg just giving way. And we were really puzzled as to what was going on. And so where we stand today, my team of doctors, they've been going through a battery of tests and scans, and they're looking at, is it possibly multiple sclerosis? And so so that's pretty much where we are with that. And yeah, I right at Thanksgiving, I did that video to say it's been a tough year. It's been a challenging year. Dealing with that has been quite frustrating. But, you know, David, it seems as though every time I really start to sort of get a little down about it, I'll hear of someone else going through something that's by far worse than what I'm dealing with. And it makes me think how grateful and how blessed I am. And, you know, I heard from one person out there who heard the video and he was saying how his wife, 37 years old, was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. I believe he said stage 4. And, you know, those are just tough things to deal with. So It's sort of like when you start feeling down or sorry for yourself, you can be reminded of yeah, there are a lot of people that are suffering. But the great thing, David, is we have hope in Jesus Christ. And I look forward to the fact that we have a eternity waiting. We're looking forward to the rapture of the church. When that trumpet sounds, the Bible says we are going to receive a glorified body. And I try to encourage people, man, that glorified body, no more pain, no more suffering. So much look forward to that. In the meantime, we occupy until he comes in, and we do it with a cheerful and joyful heart in spite of maybe some of the struggles that we're dealing with. So thank you for that. And I'm really grateful for how you've been praying for me and encouraging your audience to pray for me as well.
Amen, brother. We need to continue to lift up our family of God in ministry, brothers and sisters who are going through these things, because you know, things may get worse before they get better, but right now we just have to keep the faith and keep doing what God has called us to do. And as that verse said, press on and toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's our focus. Let's seek first the kingdom of God together, friends. So, Brian, I wanted to just mention an article you wrote over at blessingstoisrael.com, and that's why bless Israel. I just want to make sure that people know that's there. It's so important. We're not going to get into it in depth today because we have other things to discuss. But I was telling Brian before we got on the podcast, this subject is not going to go away. Why the church needs to understand the importance of supporting Israel from a biblical perspective. But here's what I want to say, and I want you to share your heart on this. We don't support everything a secular government in Israel does. Just like we don't support everything the American government, we have a secular government. There are some Christians in the Trump administration, but we don't support everything and every policy. That's the same thing. So Christians, we shouldn't have a naive approach to, yes, we support Israel no matter what. No, we don't. But we do have enough scripture to back up the fact that we need to understand God, Israel is God's chosen people. So, Brian, speak to that for a moment before we get into some other things.
Yeah, and I'm so glad, David, you pointed out that, yes, it's not a matter of blindly supporting Israel in everything it does. I like to use the example when I teach on this subject for people who sort of scratch their heads about it. I say, well, you have a child. Let's say you have a wayward child, and that child will not obey their, they're still in your home, and he or she is doing drugs. They're staying out all times of night, committing crimes. You will do some things that bring discipline to that child or correct them, but you're not going to just say, okay, well, I have to support them, so I'm going to go along with everything they're doing. No, you tell them, no, you shouldn't do those things that are immoral. But with that said, you do not disown your child. You still love them and you want what's best for them. And for people that are out there in the community, if they run into your child and they see your child has a need, you're going to want them to help that child. So it's the same way with the nation of Israel. And the Bible tells us that Israel would come back into the land. God would bring them back, but it would be in unbelief. And obviously, when people are in unbelief, they're not going to make all the best decisions. But God said still to support and to bless the nation of Israel. And where it started with us, when God called me to ministry many years ago, I was thinking about my wife and I. We were debating on what to name the ministry. And we felt the Lord just say to honor the nation of Israel, to share with people as to why Israel is important. We focus heavily on Bible prophecy. And the nation of Israel is in the center of events, that center around the return of Jesus Christ. And so we look at that and we decided to name our ministry Blessings to Israel. And I recall one day when I was sitting home with my son. At the time, I was doing contract work in my profession, and I was in between contracts. So I was home with my son. He was about a year old. And I was watching television. I can't remember the exact program, but it was something like a 700 Club. And they were showing Jews that were coming back to the land of Israel, returning Ethiopian Jews, making Aliyah that the Bible speaks of. And they were debarking from the plane and they were getting down on the tarmac and kissing the ground. And I sat there, David, and I got so emotional. And I'm not naturally an emotional person, but I started to choke up. And again, my little son was there, and I didn't want him to see me with tears because I didn't want him to think something was wrong. But I became emotional because I thought, here is prophecy playing out right before my eyes. Yes. The Bible said that would happen. The Bible also says that would be an indicator of the return of Jesus Christ. We go back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 says, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And in you, all families of the earth will be blessed. All the world, David, has been blessed because of Jesus Christ. He came through the tribe of Judah, the nation of Israel. He died for our sins. Without him, we would all be headed for eternal damnation. So all have been blessed through Jesus Christ, but you have to receive his sacrifice. So that in a nutshell is why we focus on the nation of Israel and why it's important to bless and support Israel. Again, as you said, you don't agree with every single thing they do, but overall, you support that nation.
Absolutely. And you mentioned fulfilled prophecy, and I want to go back to that and talk about that for another couple minutes, because people don't understand how huge this was, that there was no land, there was no nation, and they were dispersed around the world for almost 2,000 years. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
They were
yeah.
Israel, the people of Israel, the Jews were dispersed. And then they started coming back from the, as Isaiah says, from the north, south, east, and west. They're starting to return. They were returning to Israel. And of course, we know what happened in 1948 when Israel became a nation again. But how miraculous is that, that the land was, the Bible calls it a wasteland. It was like a desert. Yeah. Right. Think about that. The fulfilled prophecy of the Jews returning to their homeland when it was a desert. And now they are like the number two nation in the world for exporting produce. You're going, wait a minute, how do you grow produce in a desert? Because the irrigation systems that they've come up, it's just, and what God has done, believe me, miraculously, but it's fulfilled prophecy. Speak to us about that, how that is such a big issue that I think we forget how miraculous it is to have the Jews dispersed. There is no Israel. And after 2,000 years, they're back in the land and more are coming. Yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
They're back in the land just as God said they would be. The Balfour Declaration was what kickstarted things to getting them back into that land. And as you said, yeah, there were travelers who they would travel through that land prior to Israel coming back. And they said it was a wasteland. They said, who would want to be here? There's nothing here of value. But look at today how it's bringing into life. And the only explanation that you can give as to why there's so much prosperity with Israel is the hand of God. One of the things, David, that I point out to people, when you look at the Jewish population, it's only about 2% worldwide. But when you look at the Nobel Prize winners, it's well over 20%. The only explanation is God is doing that. And when we look at anti-Semitism, you look at that tiny nation, it's only about the size of New Jersey. You ask yourself the question, why is there so much emphasis on that? Why are so many people concerned about that little bitty piece of land? Well, it's because the Bible says Jesus is coming back there again, and Satan knows that. And so he is constantly stirring up the forces of the dark kingdom to go against, because he thinks that if he can destroy Israel, for one, he can try to make God out to be a liar in bringing Israel back into the land. But ultimately, it's to stop Jesus Christ from coming back to rule and reign on the earth, because his reign will be headquartered in Israel.
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother. Yeah, well, there's so much to look forward to, and there's so much prophecy yet to be fulfilled. We're going to take a brief pause a little early today with Brian, because when we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the surveys we mentioned and some of what's come out. Really surprising that, for example, Barna, the church, a majority of U.S. Christians believe that good works contribute to salvation. Now, this came out at the end of last year. Also, what the 2025, another report says about the church's worldview. And my eye-opening takeaway was how many identify as pro-life, and that's going down. I wonder why. We'll talk about that and more when we come back with Brian Thomas on Worldview Matters. Introducing the Worldview Matters Conference, coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin, May 1st and 2nd, 2026. Here are some of the featured speakers: Ken Michael, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Dr. Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kaw, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. That's the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd, 2026, Green Bay, Wisconsin. All right, friends, we're looking forward to that. It's coming. It'll be here before we know it. And right now, though, there's, you know, we've talked about the decline of the biblical literacy in the church and the biblical worldview. And we're not surprised that the world believes certain things about morality, about sin, about evil, about God. But when the church starts believing these things or the biblical worldview declines, that's where we need to pay attention and do what we can to get good truth and biblical teachings out there. Now, Brian, let's start with, I want to go back to one. I didn't send you this, but this was from October, and it was American Worldview Inventory over at the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. This one goes back to October. The redefinition of sin fuels social turbulence. And I'm just going to give you two things. There's a lot of takeaways, a lot of things they found in this, but I want to give you two and then get your response and what we can do to try to wake up the church. These are Americans. Nearly three quarters of adults, 73%, say that lying, deceiving, or manipulating others for personal gain is sinful. The highest of all behaviors tested in this survey, right? Now, the next one, listen to this. That's 73%. Let's talk about sexual morality. Only 55% view sex outside of marriage, pornography, and recreational drug use, for example, as sinful. So 73% think lying or deceiving, manipulating others is sinful, but only 55% say sex outside of marriage, and that would include homosexuality and adultery, as being sinful. This was one that kind of surprised me that it's that low. That's almost half of Americans. Mm-hmm. So your thoughts on that, and we'll move on to the next one.
Yeah, it's alarming, David. It's really sad. It's mind-boggling. I think back to the scriptures in the Old Testament when Israel, when they had no leader, and the Bible says they did what was right in their own eyes. Yes. And we see a lot of people today doing that. They totally ignore what the Bible says. I, David, just this week heard of a pastor who on Sunday, he spoke at his church. He had a moment when he brought the youth up front to speak to them, to give them a message. And so when we say youth, we're talking about all minors from 18 years on down. So you have some children there as young as like 5 years old. Well, I was told, I wasn't there present, but someone who was there told me that this pastor told the children that although having sex outside of marriage is wrong, you're going to do it anyway. So here are safe ways to do it. And I was so heartbroken by that, David, you know, so he's telling them ways to get around the consequences of sin. You don't enable people to sin. And I thought how bad those children that they're going to grow up and reap the consequences of those wrongdoings. And they're going to lean back on their pastor. And the Bible gives a stern warning for shepherds who lead the sheep astray. And that is one of the major problems today, is that pastors are not teaching the Bible. Yes, we all have a responsibility to teach and to learn on our own. But still, pastors, God calls them to point us into the right direction. So when you have that type of thing coming from the pulpit, I know of another pastor who also said, you know, when it comes to fornication, we got it wrong. And he started promoting it, saying that it's okay. That is what we end up with in society, to where now half the people go against what the Bible clearly says is sin. Yeah. And the Bible also says, David, that the marriage bed shall not be defiled. God is not mocked. It said he will judge fornicators and adulterers.
Wow.
And yet people dismiss God's word and they just go on their way.
So I want to clarify something you said. These guys are pastors, and sometimes you got to put pastors in air quotes, because if they do not have a biblical worldview, they might be off on their own Christianity or salvation, perhaps, but only God knows their hearts. But Barna Research, I believe it was Arizona Christian University, again, that did research. I think this was about 3 years ago, that Only 37% of America's pastors have a biblical worldview, and youth pastors, it's either 12 or 13% of youth pastors. These are the young men that are teaching your kids on a Wednesday night or a Sunday, you know, morning, youth pastors. So again, parents, be very discerning about your pastors at your church, especially who's teaching your kids. All right, on to the next one, Brian. Here's a key takeaway from this one about Christians now believing that good works contribute to salvation. So it's all about grace. Most people are information collectors rather than biblically consistent followers of Christ. More determined to be comfortable than biblically right. That preference will produce profound eternal effects for each of us. Yeah, we see a lot of focus on comfort in the church, but here it is, faith without understanding. In this one, a majority, not just of Americans, of Christians. This says Brian Thomas, this was a survey, 84% of adults, including 95% of professing Christians, believe there's such a thing as sin, right? So that's okay, well, at least that's a good thing. But millions of Americans do not believe their sinfulness will send them to hell, resign them to hell. And so there's a lot of confusion there, and I think maybe sometimes it starts in the church. Among those who say they are Christian, 3 out of 4, 77%, say they will enjoy eternal comfort and peace, and they say, okay, because of good works. So there's a lot of confusion here. There's a lot more details we don't have enough time to get into. But friends, this came out at the end of last year. And there's a lot of people who think they're good. When, what did Jesus say, Brian? Who are you calling good? There's only one good, but God alone. Go ahead. Your thoughts on this, because works, it even says in Ephesians, by grace we are saved through faith, and is not by our works. That now, good works are a consequence or a result of authentic salvation. So we will do good works once we're saved, but they do not get us into heaven or a higher level of heaven. Go ahead.
Exactly right, David. There's no way you can work your way in. As you said, Ephesians chapter 2 says it's only by grace through faith. It's not by works, because if it was by works, then we could boast, but none of us can. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we can be saved. You mentioned that, as Jesus said, there's none good, no, not one. Only God is good. Romans 3:10 says there is none righteous, no, not one. And when I look at people who think that they can, through good works, get themselves into heaven, I'm sure your audience, you've seen the videos that Ray Comfort does when he goes out on the streets and he'll ask people, are you going to heaven? Most of the time they'll say yes. And when he says why, they'll say, well, I'm a good person, or I do good things. But David, the Bible is very clear. Jesus said that in his word that the best that we can do is as filthy rags, because we're all fallen sinners. So none of us are good. And we often have this mindset that we deserve something, or that we are, you know, generally good people. I've heard surveys that say, well, most people are just good people, but not by God's standards, maybe by man's standard, but by God's standard, all of us deserve damnation. But thanks be to God, he made a way that we could be forgiven, that we could be found justified to be with him for eternity through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The sad thing about it is all we have to do, Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. That is all we have to do to be saved, repent of our sins. So many people, though, think that they can do good works, and someday when they stand before God, he's going to sort of weigh things in the scales, and their good is going to outweigh their bad, and therefore they'll get in. That is not how this works, and that is the sad reality that a lot of people are deceived by.
Amen, brother. Now, we're running out of time, so let's jump to this last one real quick, and we should actually put the links in the description for the podcast today. But, Brian, this one is over at the Washington Stand, and it says, what the 2025 CBW report reveals about the church, the church's worldview. The CBW is the Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview, CBW. It says, and this goes along with Pew Research, who released a poll as well, that a third of U.S. adults believe religion's influence is growing in America. This is interesting because this is post-Charlie Kirk assassination. What's interesting about this is there's a 36% increase in Bible sales in just 1 month. 2.4 million Bibles were sold in that month after Charlie Kirk, and then more. And more people are going to church. We talked about that before on other podcasts. But What's interesting about this is Generation Z, Gen Z and millennials seem to be driving a resurgence in church attendance. But then there's always a downside to what people believe, even though they're going to church buying Bibles, or they think they're maybe thinking, okay, anybody, I believe in God. Maybe people are going to, you know, have a problem with my worldview too. But what do they believe? Only 45% now identify as pro-life. So with all the people that are going to church, maybe buying Bibles, maybe open to spiritual things, and that includes the youngest, you know, the Gen Zers, there's still some confusion about what the Bible teaches on life, gender, marriage, family, sexuality, and civil government. Brian, I know I left you with just a minute and a half, but just share your quick thoughts and then we'll have to wrap it up. Sorry, bro.
Yeah, no problem. And that is the thing. You made a great point, David, is that we see they say, OK, religion is increasing. But I ask myself the question, OK, what religion? Yes. The Bible talks about false religions. When we talk about this conversation about works, how you are saved, well, false religions like Islam, they stress works. But we know that does not get you into heaven. There's no work you can do to get into heaven. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, accepting his sacrifice. So my prayer is that if people are becoming more religious, well, let's hope they're choosing the true religion, that is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that is what they're following. Jesus said before he went back to heaven, go into the world, make disciples. That means we need to teach people how to live out the faith. And I think that's something that's greatly missing in many churches today. So I pray that that will happen.
Thanks, brother. Amen. Amen. And I know there were so many different stats and percentages and things we could have got into from these surveys, but there's just a lot of information out there. And I think the church needs to be discerning on how we process what's going on, because there is now an uptick in interest in spiritual things. We've got to be open to sharing the gospel, but we also have to understand they're going to church. What church are they going to, and who's going to be the pastor there? And oh my goodness, Brian, that we have a lot of work to do, but we've got a new year to do it. Brother, thanks for your time. God bless you.
God bless you as well, David. Pray blessings upon your ministry, and good to be with you once again.
Thank you so much. And friends, Happy New Year. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.